fantastic.
All right, I'm sorry. Kyle apparently is here today. It's just sort of a crapshoot with that guy. Some days he's here, some days he's not. No one seems to know. Sorry, he was just reenacting. He was reenacting part of the climactic finale to Sport Fight 9 from the weekend. So it was elbows. Was it elbows in the teeth? Is that what the thing? It was like elbows right into the right on the nose or in the teeth?
Right in the cheekbone.
Oh.
And it just split right when he hit him.
Okay, so the guy's on his back.
Guy's on his back, and the guy got him like straddled across his stomach, so the guy couldn't use his legs.
Totally,
at all.
Yeah.
And he started wailing on him. Instead of using his fists, he used his bows.
Yeah, see.
I was like, man, if I ever get in a fight again, totally what I'm doing.
Well, see, and that's how 90% of those sport fighting, ultimate fighting and stuff. Because the thing about the sport fight is it's like, sometimes those guys just get locked in like that crab thing and they just stay on the ground for like 10 minutes just not moving. So sometimes there can be like these long segments where nothing really happens. But it's all about those like 30-second segments where the guy forgets and leaves his face wide open and the guy like... Well, because when I saw Matt Lindland at the last one, he gets the guy down on his back. It's a Rick Emerson show, by the way. I'm talking about the Sport Fight Night, which I did not get to go to because I went home and it was like I just had a huge meal and the house was like 80 degrees from the heater, and so I laid down on the couch and it was like that cozy cocooned in feeling, and I woke up to my cell phone ringing. Everybody went around with us, and I just didn't have time to make it out there. But where he gets the guy pinned on his back and he's doing that thing like he used to do to your little brother where you'd pin him down and then dangle spitting, you know, above his face, gets him pinned down, knees on the shoulders, and the guy has his hands up, kind of. You know, he's kind of waddling his hands and trying to block his face. And then at a certain moment, the guy would, like, part his hands, leaving his face wide open. And it's like Lindley would just drop the fist from, like, a height of 8 inches away, just right under the guy's nose. And that's just a bad. And then the elbow. Man, the last sport fight sort of got to tell, and then we got to move on. But I saw a Ultimate Fighting thing not unlike that, where the guy couldn't breathe. He was, you know, kind of getting a little raspy, wheezy. So he turns and he spits out his mouth guard, which is, like, the last mistake he ever made. Because it's like you try to breathe around that thing, I think, is tough. And he's all, you know, so he turns and spits out the mouth guard. And then turns back just in time to get an elbow right in the teeth.
Chicklets.
But yeah, totally. Followed by four or five of the same. And that was a fight that was over quickly. All right. And so forth. All right. 503-535-9100. Here's what's coming up. We'll talk in just a second about me turning in my geek card. That's just the most embarrassing thing. Just the most embarrassing moment on Friday. So
are we going to make it a geek watch?
We can do that, I suppose. We'll do that in just a second. Later on, we will have Dennis Glasgow here. Our good friend Gustav is going to be here from 94.7 FM, Alternative Portland. We'll talk about video games a little, because we're going to have William Carlton on later in the show as well. That's the guy that was going to break the Missile Command record on Friday, and we'll find out the outcome of that. Now, even I do not know the outcome. Don't spoil it for me. Don't email me a result. I don't know anything about it. I don't know whether he achieved his goal or not. So we'll find out. Rick, this email says, I've driven that bridge every day, sometimes several times a day for years. I drive a 5,500-pound full-size van. I've driven that bridge in sun, rain, ice, and snow. Somehow, I've managed to avoid plunging into the river de feces. That lady is a moron. Please see to it she is banned from our state forever. Thank you. F. Matt with a big chunk of concrete
this F.
and
Matt
steel.
This F. Matt is brought to you by Barfly Magazine.
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Tim Riley, newsman extraordinaire. Tim, where are you calling from?
I'm right on the Morrison Bridge right now. I am right across from the guard tower, and I can see where the section of the guardrail is down. Oh, they put up a temporary one here.
Okay, now, go ahead.
These guardrails look like they're aluminum.
All right, now how high are they, would you say, from the road?
These are about, well, first you have to get up on the ledge, so they're about 5 feet up, maybe.
Okay, so see, 5 feet up, it's like if you're going the speed limit, which is 35 miles an hour, there's no way you'd be able to hop that sidewalk.
Right. It's like a cement barrier that's like a foot high.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So you'd have to hop a foot of cement and then the additional several feet of aluminum,
right.
And you have to turn over that. Now, did she remove that section of the railing completely?
Yeah.
Is it just gone?
It's on the side going toward downtown, so it's on the westbound. It's right across from the guard tower there.
All right.
Directly across from there, and it looks like maybe a 6-foot section of it's gone, and they put up like a temporary regular guardrail up onto the area where the aluminum was taken out. So it has two aluminum bars.
All right, now, so she did not cross the bridge. In other words, she did not go all the way across to the opposing side and take out that barrier. She took out the barrier that was closest to her.
Yeah, looks that way.
All right, excellent. Are they letting people, is traffic on the bridge restricted, or are they letting people drive?
Oh, no, no problem at all. There's a little bit of that that crime scene tape up there.
So you can. So now there's a big-ass hole in the railing right on the side of the bridge, but they're still letting people drive right by it.
Good. You can stop and slow down and take a good look at it so you don't miss it.
Excellent. All right. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, on the scene. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. All right. Tim Riley in the Max 910 mobile newsroom. Well, I'll read these short news stories here later on.
And then we'll get to your...
Well, I'll talk a little bit. We'll get to this. And we'll get to the striper thing in just a second, and we'll talk to Joe and so forth. Do you want to make this a Geek Watch? All right. Here's your supplemental Geek Watch for Monday.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember, you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
By Grab Thaw's hammer. What a savings. All right, so we had, and it's a shameful for me to admit this as it is for you to hear it. And I feel bad. Sarah saw my self-flagellation on Friday.
I saw you flailing about.
All weekend, man. It's like everybody I ran into all weekend long had to hear this story from me. I did the worst thing on Friday. Like, I mean, Lara's already heard this story like 15 different times because every time we would run into somebody over the weekend, I would have to tell them about my shame. So here's the thing. So on Friday, we had two guys on the show with us, the guys who did Saints and Soldiers, which opened on, which got really good reviews, by the way, opened on Friday. And it's one of the guys has kind of a Portland connection. He's from here. They filmed it in Utah. It's sort of a Saving Private Ryan type thing. Anyway, long story short, we had the two guys in the studio with us on Friday with Scott Daly talking about the Saints and Soldiers movie, right? And so the guy that was sitting to my immediate right, this guy Larry Bagby. Who has his own website, by the way. It's LarryBagby.com. So he's talking about how he's in Saints and Soldiers and how he plays. He's in that new, the new Johnny Cash. Is it biopic or biopic?
I thought it was biopic. I don't know. I just merged the two of them together.
That's one of those words that you always see written out. You never hear anybody say it aloud. Somebody let me know how that's pronounced. Anyway, he's in the new biographical film about Johnny Carson. Johnny Cash, Walk the Line, with Reese Witherspoon and Joaquin Phoenix. And he plays Johnny Cash's bass player. And so I'm talking about that and everything. And, you know, he kind of looks a little familiar, but I sort of put it out of my head. And, you know, he's an actor. You figure, you know, he's got one of those faces. Maybe he seems like you've seen it. So we get done. We're back standing by our desk after the show. And he's talking to us. And he's like, hey, we're going to be doing a Q&A. And then we're going to be at the Doug Fir. And you guys should come by and hang and, you know, and whatever. And we're talking to the guy. And, you know, he just, I can't get over the fact. It's like that little mental itch. You know, you're like, well, the guy looks so familiar. What is that from? And I look at him and I say, hey, man, you look really familiar. And he sort of goes, oh, yeah, and he says something like, oh, I've got one of those faces. And I say, oh, okay. And then I hear his friend, the other actor, whose name I forgot, and I apologize. I hear the other actor talking to Scott Daly. And I hear the following phrase. Blah, da, blah, da, blah, gay football player. And then it occurs to me that this guy who I've been sitting across from for half an hour here in the studio is Larry Bagby, who plays Larry the gay football player on seasons 1 through 4 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I mean, for shame, Rick Emerson.
Seriously. I mean, he's one of the most prominent ancillary characters on the show. And it's like, I'm a huge, phenomenally huge Buffy fan. I'm sitting here across...
you claim to be.
The guy's 3 feet away from me. He's sitting, like, within arm's reach of me for half an hour in the studio, talking about whatever. He gives me his card, you know, which has got, like, a big picture of it, because I'm trying to blame it on the beard, that I don't recognize him because of the beard. But he gives me his card, which is all clean shit. I had no idea, didn't recognize him. And so then I immediately... Then the cork comes out, you know, and I immediately, the geekiness just flows forth like red wine. And I'm, oh, you're Larry, the gay football player on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you can, apparently it's a thing he's been trying to live down a little bit because he's tired of guys like me.
Hence the facial hair, perhaps?
Seriously, like he's trying to disguise himself. Because he's tired of guys like me running, going, can I have your autograph? You know, and will you sign my steak? And so I immediately start dorking out about it. And I, you're the guy, you die at the end of season four while battling the mayor, who during his ascension turns into a giant steak during the Battle of Buffy and Sunnydale High. And it, you know, I'm just turning into like a complete jabbering nitwit right in front of the guy. And he told me that, I mean, in my defense, it's probably just as well that I didn't start dorking out about him being a Buffy the Vampire Slayer guy in the studio, because he told me that he's kind of trying to live that down. He's trying to get past it because he doesn't want to be pigeonholed by that. Although he did tell me, because I've always had this theory that if you've ever been on, you know, Buffy, Angel, Star Trek, Babylon 5, Smallville, any of those shows, man, it's like you are on the gravy train for life. Because anytime the rent comes due, anytime you need to make a car payment, man, you just go to a con, you just go to a sci-fi convention, you start tossing out. You know,
Twin Peaks would be that same way for me. I would see like the log lady. I'd pay like $10 for an autograph.
Seriously,
from her.
Yeah, you completely
just
would.
And I don't care about her, but I would.
Doesn't matter because she's from Twin Peaks. And so, man, and he told me that Erin Gray, who's a sci-fi figure of some note too, he said that she has actually formed a talent agency. Whose sole purpose is to take second and third tier people. In other words, not the William Shatners of the world, not the Leonard Nimoys, but, you know, the Larry Bagbys of the world, quite frankly, and the Log Lady. And she just hooks them up at sci-fi conventions everywhere. And, like, he said anytime he wants work, anytime he needs to make a little money, it's like he can just pick up the phone and call her, and it's like she'll have him on a plane to Akron, Ohio, to shake hands with unwashed nitwits like myself. So, anyway, so long story short, so I had the Buffy guy. It's like when Don Geronimo had Michael Chiklis from The Shield on 2 weeks ago. I don't know if anybody heard that interview, but Don and Mike. So Don had Michael Chiklis, who plays Vic Mackey in The Shield, on, but he also plays The Thing in the upcoming Fantastic Four film. And it was like, man, I love Don and Mike, but it was the worst interview because Don just put his foot right down his throat like 30 seconds in because he's talking to Michael Chiklis, who's on The Shield, a very well-regarded program, and Don says something to the effect of, that's a pretty good show for being on such a crummy, crappy, cheesy little network. And I think he was trying to make it a compliment, like a, you know, with not a lot of resources to work with, you've made some great television. But it's like Chiklis immediately got on the defensive, and the interview ended really badly and abruptly and early, and he never got that. And he just spent the rest of the day just whipping himself on the air for not being able to ask him any Fantastic Four questions. And that's totally what I was doing all Friday afternoon. I could have asked him all about Buffy. So, anyway. So the fact that I sat 2 feet away from some Buffy the Vampire Slayer actor, didn't recognize him. I am not allowed to call myself. There's like a week period here where I'm not allowed to call myself a geek at all. I have to turn in my geek card for a week. Joe in Salem, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, Sarah, what's going on?
What do you got, brother?
Two things real quick. DVD that you have to get is a new SCTV.
Now, is that... When you say new, that's it's a new...
They're releasing first, second, and third seasons consecutively.
Kind of the classic season of that show, yeah.
Oh, and I tell you, remember this old log cabin, The Rockin' with John Candy?
Well, that was...
When he had the plasmatics, Wendy O. Williams, and she took the chainsaw to the place.
Well, and SCTV was a breeding ground for so many of those guys that went over to SNL in the years after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but they're classic. No, they put Saturday Night Live to shame.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That's cool. Is that out now?
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
And I tell you, when he takes the tubes fishing, the band, the tubes out fishing in the boat, he took every band out fishing first, remember that?
That was a fantastic show, which is hard. It's hard to see now in America because it was a Canadian production.
Oh, I know. You don't, unless you get the video, you won't see it. And the other thing, I conducted my own experiment on that bridge this morning, and I did 55 miles an hour taking bong hits, steering with my knee. And I couldn't put it over the rail.
Well, you really got to work at that. I mean, I don't know what the whole story with that woman is, but that's, you got to put in the extra effort to try to get over that. Because however much I make fun of the architecture of our bridges here, those bridges aren't built by idiots. I mean,
no, they're
built by engineers. We have in some engineers here, don't we?
We do.
I'm going to get an engineer here, and I'm going to ask him about it. All right, Joe, thank you, sir.
We'll get Gary.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, there you go. I'm going to get an engineer here in the next segment, and we're going to talk about that. Hey, do we have the Striper thing?
Oh, yes.
Let's play that, and then we'll break. All right, now we're going to play this, and then we'll come back. Here's what we've got coming up. We've got Dennis Glasgow with a sports recap. Gustav is going to be here from 94.7 FM. We'll talk about World of Warcraft because William Carlton is also going to be joining us. We're guest-rific. It's a guest-a-palooza. We're guest-tastic. He's going to talk about his attempt to break the world record missile command score. We have had some requests for this. This is an edited version of this is what we use for our religious nutcase watch from the album Soldiers Under Command. I believe. I don't believe it's from the Yellow and Black Attack.
Nobody will know if
it
isn't.
I believe it's from Soldiers Under Command. We're going to play this. It's only like 2 minutes, but this is the full, this is the unexpurgated Striper version of Battle Hymn of the Republic. Kyle, go ahead and roll that. It's fantastic. This is the best thing you're going to hear today. Right here on the Rick Emerson Show. Yeah. Next time some pinhead starts telling you how the 80s were fantastic, you start playing this for him. You let him know. Listen to that. Greetings, Starfighter.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the spent head where that great old wrath of sword. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his
Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Live from Portland. I'm Max Nightingale. Stay right there. This is the part where they're throwing open the library doors and they're all walking out.
How can you remember that and not a character?
Shut up! Get off my back!
Think of all the opportunity. God, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Not to be all about the
glory. It was probably a blessing in disguise, though. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, not to be all about the glory of us, but the guy, you know, they seem to have a pretty good time on the show. This Larry Bagby guy who was in the studio on Friday for Saints and Soldiers. And, it, you know, and afterwards he was, I mean, I'm sure that he probably tells this to everybody, but he was like, hey, come and hang out, and here's what we're going to be drinking, and come kick it with us, which I think is probably 90% about Sarah and 10% about me, but I think that probably even that would have vanished had I sat here going, and then, you remember season 4, episode 5, where you had psychic abilities? Was awesome. You know, like if I just sat and just been all farting.
So how many actual episodes was he in? Was he in a big chunk of them?
No, he was a recurring character. Yeah, he was. Now, wait, are you really asking me this? Or no. Are you just asking? Is this one of those things where you talk to Kyle and you're like, watch
no,
me.
No, I'm wondering. If
watch
I...
me make Rick babble about this.
No, I
hey, Rick,
No, but I mean, should we be excited to be in his presence? I mean, was he
well,
a
really.
Well-known?
Not really, no.
Oh.
I mean, he's well-known to Buffy fans, unless you're me. But I'm trying to think of some analogous character to compare him to. But he was a two Buffy dorks, I guess. He was a fairly well-known character. Let's quit talking about it. I don't want to. Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
What's up, Rick?
What do you got?
Hey, man, what'd you want to know about that Trapper song you were playing?
Wait, we were talking about Battle Hymn of the Republic, and I couldn't figure out if that was off Soldiers Under Command or the Yellow and Black Attack.
Soldiers Under Command.
All right, excellent.
This is the guy you got the CD from.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, because about 2-3 years ago, it was either in the mail or dropped off at the front desk. I bet it was the entire Striper discography.
I dropped it off.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Christina Carlson was still there.
It was fantastic because she had never heard it, and we were trying to find it to play for her. Yeah. Good times. All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right there. Soldiers Under Command.
I'll stay there.
Whoa. What the hell was that?
Just kidding.
Okay. Is my microphone on? All right, before we do the top five, here's something you don't care about. Janine Garofalo. Oh, wait a minute. Where's that?
I didn't mean it, Striper Guy. I'm sorry.
Where's that 10-second delay?
That would have just been lame. I'm sorry. I was thinking I had no control over my inner monologue.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize to me. Janine Garofalo, who people have long ago since quit caring about. Janine Garofalo will start. Now, see, here's where you get a conflict. You get a conflict between something you don't want to watch because of the actor or actress and that you do want to watch because of the subject matter. You know what I mean? And this is where you've got the fork in the road. You've got the immovable object and the irresistible force here. Janine Garofalo will star in the NBC comedy pilot. You know about this, Kyle? Janine Garofalo.
No, I hate Janine Garofalo.
That's what I'm saying, but as do I. See, look.
I can't stand her.
See, I could do a whole monologue right now about Janine Garofalo. But, you know, I'm not going to do it.
Why don't we do the top five instead?
Five, four, three, two, one, fire.
We'll do this instead.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy.
I learned to count. Don't you?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present, for your listening pleasure, the gayest top five of all time. This is not the gayest top five of all time. The gayest top five of all time would have been when we did the top five gayest songs ever. By definition, that sort of holds the title. This is a strong follow-up. According to VH1, ladies and gentlemen, these are the top five dance songs of all time, as compiled by our brethren at Viacom Broadcasting, VH1. These are the top five dance songs of all time. Even I know this list is flawed. Honorable mention number six. Ben McCoy. Let's all do the hustle.
See, we are already moving.
Now, I believe this was the song that Marge and Homer Simpson first danced to. I really should have waited till Wednesday. I should have done this with Clyde in the room. Clyde would be all over this. Good hustle. Boy, the 70s were terrible. I can practically... How do you know this?
Everybody knows this.
I can practically feel a Coke spoon jammed up one of my nostrils. This should be sampled by some hip-hopper. Why haven't the Beastie Boys or somebody sampled this?
Oh, completely.
Over this little flute thing, you can totally hear the... Go to Iraq and something, get your back, you know, some lame, you know, some horrible socially conscious rap from Mike D. This totally needs to be sampled. Put a little drum, a little 808 behind that. Come on. Oh, God. Angels, I need you. These are the... Why are we even doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know what possessed me to think that this was the top five we needed. I just want to let this play forever. I'll guarantee you that Tim has this up and he's sort of like grooving from left to right in his car right now. I'll guarantee you he had to play this numerous times throughout the 70s. These are the top five dance songs of all time, according to VH1. Number five.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. This is a great song. You can't deny this.
Not so much dancey, though, as it is just like hand movement song.
Well, but see, here's the thing. I thought that these were songs about a particular dance. But it's not, these are the top five songs to which one can dance, I believe. Even though the Vogue is sort of a dancing type thing. Because these songs are not all about a specific dance. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not. I'll tell you right off, like, the Twist isn't on here, which seems wrong. Like, the Twist is the original dance craze, right? I mean, how could you not be doing the Twist? Whatever. So Madonna, Vogue. Oh, this is the remix from the Immaculate Collection. Hi. I like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm going to talk about video games to redeem myself.
I'm not feeling it. I don't want to move to this song. Do the Hustle.
On.
I was totally all about it.
Well,
but
it's hard to beat the Hustle, but we're not really the rocking part of the song, though. There's that part of the end where the drum machine does that double time thing where she does that get up on the dance floor part. You know?
If there's any song that you dance to, what about Like a Prayer? That
like
one.
A prayer, you can dance to that. I would also say Express Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say Open Your Heart.
Or Cherish.
Hi there. Hi there. I'm a white straight American male.
I celebrate her entire catalog.
I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, there isn't a better artist. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog. What's your favorite song? I like them all, I guess.
Yeah.
Top five dance songs of all time. Hi there. It's the gayest show ever. Number four. Yeah! Now, this is an indisputable classic. You can't deny Sister Sledge. Sister, we are family. Sarah's cursing at me. Sarah's using profanity in my headphones about omissions from the list. Everybody. Oh, I was early.
Oh, I was praying you were going to start singing.
You know who did a great cover of this? With Babes in Toyland. Babes in Toyland did a great cover of this in like 92, 93, something like that, with that Kate Bellin girl, whoever that is. Right here? Yeah. This, when I saw the Spice Girls, this was their encore. It's the worst thing ever. Everyone loves this. Even Kyle loves this.
That is it. It was in that movie Birdcage.
Yeah, I like that.
I have seen that.
How bizarre that you would be quoting the Birdcage.
Yeah. My mom actually, we watched it a lot.
Uh-huh. Just it's all hook all the time. All right, counting down the top five dance songs of all time. Number three. Thelma Houston. She's saying, "Don't leave me now," right here on Gold 91, or something. Whatever, don't leave me this way, whatever. It's the quiet storm. I'm sorry, were you and Kyle gonna rock slowly side to side?
We were going to slow dance.
Holding each other underneath the papier-mâché decorations of the gymnasium. There you go. Hey, did you see they just auctioned off that light up floor from Saturday Night Fever? It's like $1.5 million or something.
If you go to the Doug Fir downstairs, they have a light up floor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never been to that place. Isn't that just some sort of a dimly lit Denny's?
Yeah, it's kind of like Twin Peaks themed place, non-smoking, all like glass and wood.
I mean, I've never been there. That's what somebody said. It was a hipster Denny's.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it a cool place? Or is it a place that's trying to be cool and therefore isn't?
I think it started as a cool place, and now so many people know about it that it's just so crowded with just, like,
I can't imagine you could ever get a seat there because everybody's always talking about it.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to get into during the week.
What? It's open.
They have good shows there, though.
It's open 20 hours a day? When is it closed? What hours?
Like 2 to 6, I think.
Yeah, and a Storm played there a while back.
Yeah, they have this huge room downstairs, and yeah, they have a bunch of good bands play.
Hi there, it's the second gayest top five ever. These are the top five dance songs according to VH1. Number two, Donna Summer. Last Dance. So You know why I'm doing this top five?
No.
A, because it's hilarious. B, because we're about to engage in a bunch of video game and sports talk. So I'm desperately trying to hold on to the female segment of the demographic before we just completely lose them for the rest of the day. Coming up in just a minute, by the way, Dennis Glasgow is going to be here with Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Our good friend Gustav from 94.7 FM will join us to talk about his online gaming habit. We'll talk to William Carlton. He of the Missile Command World Record. We'll see if he broke it. Counting down the top five dance songs of all time. At number six, we heard Van McCoy with The Hustle. Number five was Madonna with Vogue. Number four, Sister Sledge. We Are Family. Number three, Velma Houston. In number two, Donna Summer, and the number one dance song of all time. Now every sassy woman in Portland is starting to tilt her head left and right. Miming this to the radio. Snapping her fingers saucily. Stop that, Kyle. Kyle's got his double jointed spine thing going on. Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. There you go.
Walk out the door.
All right, 503-535-9100. This email says, make it stop, make it stop, make it stop. God damn, I hate you. Make it stop. Okay. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Jeff, how are you, sir?
That was a pretty bad top five of misplaced songs, and I'm sure you're going to get calls.
Yes.
But such songs that should have been on that top 10 list, or top whatever list, YMCA, The Chicken Dance, The Hokey Pokey, and Let's Get It On by Mr. Marvin Gaye.
The Hokey Pokey.
You know, isn't that a song?
What about Red Rover, too? No, you're right. You're right. Or any...
Whatever happened to the Tennessee Waltz?
Okay. You're done now. There you go. That's Jeff. Whatever happened to the Hokey Pokey? Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our friend Dennis Glasgow, Sports Radio 1080 The Fan. Thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I'm back at it after vacation and being sick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you feeling the soul? Feeling the funk?
Is this my new theme music?
Apparently so.
I love it.
Yes.
It's splendid.
It is marvelous. The greatest dance song of all time, according to Antoine. It does seem inexplicable that The Twist is not on this list, in addition to YMCA.
Yeah. And Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
Which is a fantastic
song.
Now, can you dance to Dancing Queen?
Oh, you totally can dance to Dancing Queen. Like
anything.
Fernando. Anything by ABBA.
Yeah,
Fernando.
Anything by ABBA's right.
Like Waterloo. You don't feel the tempo of Dancing Queen's a little slow? Wait, hold on. I think I've got it here, actually.
I
have it over here.
And everybody has...
Oh, you can totally dance to this.
Everybody has ABBA Gold, don't they?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Who among us doesn't love ABBA? If you don't love ABBA, you can just get the hell out of my country, mister.
Yeah. Good
All
call.
Right. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
All right.
I'm refreshed. The battery's recharged.
So
ready to go?
You were in California or something?
I was in San Diego for a week.
San Diego, Alamo City. Now, where did you stay in San Diego?
Right on the beach in Solana.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
And a beach house right on the ocean.
Good
and
times.
Had a great time with the family and some friends. It was a really...
Not to turn this into a weather discussion, but what was the weather like there?
It was bad for a couple days. They've had some bad mudslides because of the torrential rain that they're getting down there and people are losing their homes. So a couple days, it was kind of nasty.
The first time I ever went there was right at the El Nino. With the El Nino thing, so it was just raining and drizzly.
Part two's back now with El Nino. It's a mess down there. The other days were nice. Did the Disneyland and Legoland with the kid and everything. So.
You know, I was just talking to somebody about Disneyland yesterday, because that's the thing. I hadn't been at Disneyland since I was like 13.
And me
then
too.
I went again a few years ago when I was about 27 or 28. And man, it was just ass. It was just the biggest letdown. Biggest
it
disappointment
is
of my entire life.
When you go, if you have children someday, it's easy to live vicariously through them and doing all the things like it's a small world, which we did with our little three-year-old. But, it's just like going back to your high school or your junior high, elementary.
Yeah.
Everything shrinks. You get bigger.
It's like watching,
and it's a letdown.
It's like watching some fantastic sci-fi movie from when you were a kid when you're like 40. Yeah. You go back and watch Tron.
I mean, do you remember how scared you were when you were 13 when you went on the haunted house, right?
Completely.
Go back when you're 27. It's
watch out for hitchhiking ghosts.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
All right. So, but we had a nice time.
What is happening in the world of sports, my
brother? Well, NCAA basketball. How'd you do in your bracket so far?
In the big dance?
Yes.
I'm holding my own.
Okay. All right. That's a good answer.
Something.
Do you have one of these four teams, Michigan State, Louisville, Illinois, or North Carolina?
Yes.
How many of those do you have? All four?
Yes.
Okay, those are all good answers.
Excellent. Fantastic.
That is your final four. It's all set up. Saturday, they play against each other, and then the big one is a week from tonight.
All right.
And then they're getting tremendous ratings. We've had a bunch of overtime games, and the NCAA and CBS very happy that they're getting ratings going through the roof over college basketball.
I will say that I'm apparently the only person on earth not doing an NCAA bracket right now. I think it's one of those things.
So Sarah is?
Every
I know Kyle is.
Every other citizen on earth is doing an NCAA bracket.
Not I.
So two of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
So it's okay. We're the exception that proves the rule.
I will tell you this, though. Anybody can win when you do these brackets because it's just a crapshoot. It's all luck.
Are you infected with some head cold that you're going to give me?
No, I'm all done now.
You don't sound all done. You still sound decidedly ill.
Well, you know, I've been coughing for about a month, so and my voice is getting over it.
Well, luckily, we've got these windscreens here to protect us from such things.
We actually have this partition up. That's kind of nice.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
it's a viral infection, so you're not going to get it from me.
Just going to lean back here. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I think actually you gave it to me.
I don't know.
About 2 months ago.
You know what it is? It's this, man, I'm telling you, I firmly believe that these ventilation ducts in the ceiling are just for show.
You told me this before we left for vacation, and Intercom is trying to poison us very slowly. I do believe that.
Do you know what these ducts are like? These little vents in the ceiling, these circulation vents? These are like the crosswalk buttons. And the door close buttons and elevators don't work, not connected to anything, not plugged in, just
there
for show.
Just
there
for
to
show.
Give you an impotent sense of power.
I think you're bang on.
There to give you to give
asbestos,
you the
toxic stuff coming down.
All it is, man. It's just there to give us the illusion that they care. Right.
Well, you tell me every time you come in here, you start to cough.
No, I feel fine, and then as soon as I walk in the studio every day, I'm all, you know, and everything. So bad thing.
We didn't get to do any steroid stuff in the last couple of weeks.
No.
Did you watch any of the congressional
hearings?
I had
to go to a street dealer.
Even on some of the highlights?
No, I didn't, because what's his name? Was it Bonds already said? Yeah. Was it Bonds that said he wouldn't give anybody up?
Right.
Like, so it's like,
And McGuire was there also.
Yeah, and it's like, but they both just clammed up about it, right?
And it's
like, I have no reason to
watch. It was interesting because a lot of people were guessing that with these players all lowering up before they were going in front of Congress in the congressional hearings, is that they were going to invoke their Fifth Amendment.
Right.
Well, none of them did that, but McGuire, who's kind of the lead guy at everybody suspecting that he's done steroids and all the home runs he's had, he kept on saying over and over, I don't want to talk about the past. I just want to talk about the future and the positive things about steroids.
Sure. The positive things about steroids.
So he humiliated himself. He looked real bad. And a lot of people are saying, geez, I wonder if I should vote this guy into the Hall of Fame now after that fiasco.
Now, did he have any choice? Did he have to show up?
He had to. They were all subpoenaed. Sammy Sosa, Curt Schilling, Rafael Palmeiro, and Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, and Donald Fehr, the head of the Players Association, were all pretty much grilled pretty good by all the senators on there.
Is it illegal to use steroids?
It is illegal to use steroids.
So if it's illegal to use steroids, why haven't they just tested
it? It wasn't several years ago.
So it's retroactive.
But it's still illegal to get them. See, they're, you know,
it's like the Cuban cigar thing.
Exactly.
You can't get them, but if they appear in your body.
Exactly. All now they are legal to do in Major League Baseball. So
is he going to get shafted out of the Hall of Fame?
Because there's a lot of guys out there who do have a vote. Said, you know what? I'm not sure if I want to vote for him after that display.
Oh, that'd be satisfying.
See,
that'd make me feel good.
You know this when it comes to the media. Even if you've done something wrong and you own up to it, the story goes away in about 48 hours.
Yeah.
But if you continue to lie, they will come after you, and I'm talking about the media, forever.
Yeah.
And McGuire didn't do that. All he had to do was say, you know what? I did steroids. It was fantastic. I made millions of dollars. I hit a lot of home runs.
I'd do it again.
Yeah, I'd do it again. You know, and then we can all move on. But he did not do that.
Yeah.
He did not do that. And Barry Bonds is so sick of the media attention that he's actually considering retiring from baseball.
Now, what did Canseco testify?
He did.
He's the one that wrote the book,
right?
He wrote
the book,
like,
Juice.
Everybody was doing it.
He looked like an absolute buffoon. I don't know if you saw him on 60 Minutes, but he looked like a goof.
He didn't seem like a smart man.
With Mike Wallace, and he looked like a goof when he was testifying.
Yeah.
Because he said in the book, and he said it to Mike Wallace, steroids are good for some people.
It's like heroin. Heroin cures the common cold in certain folks.
Guy's unbelievable. Yeah. But he's already made his bet. He's just trying to make money. A couple other things. Speaking of baseball, on a good note, Sunday, the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, of course, that great rivalry. Sunday night baseball, that's when the season starts. And for the Seattle Mariners, Monday is their opening day at Safeco versus Minnesota.
So they can get a head start on their losses. They can just start losing right out of the gate.
I don't think they'll lose 99 games this year, but you're probably right. It'll be about a 500 year.
Yeah.
Okay. And what else? I'm wearing my Winterhawks jersey today. Portland Winterhawks in the WHL here in town are in the first round, best of seven versus Everett. They've tied 1-1. They play two games in Everett this week, and then game five will be next Monday back here in Portland.
Now, if they're Winterhawks, why is there a fancifully dressed Indian on the front?
That's a very good question. That's something you're going to have to take
up with the Portland. Is that just sort of like any opportunity to stick it to the Indians on the behalf of the league? Yeah. Like let's just try to annoy somebody.
I doubt it, but you never know. This is a copy of the Chicago Blackhawks jersey, so I guess that's kind of the option from them. Yeah.
All right, excellent. And you guys are on this afternoon?
Yeah, we are on our regular time, 3 to 7, and we'll be on the road doing some Final Four stuff at the end of this week and possibly next week. And then we're on the road in Seattle, actually, on Tuesday to do the second game at Safeco. We'll be actually at the baseball park, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Glasgow.
Everybody, have a good one.
Be back after this. We'll talk to William Carlton, tried to break the Missile Command world record on Friday. We'll find out if it happened, and our good friend Gustav from 94.7 FM will be joining us momentarily. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. If you like the email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You send it back after this. Don't go anywhere.
But now I got a new tour. I'm going insane. Starting a hurricane, releasing pain. Letting you know you can't change. I'll maintain unless you say my name. Ripping, killing, digging and drilling a hole. Past the old goal. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out.
You're listening to The Rick Emerson Show on Max 910, talk radio for guys.